You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 572, recorded on October 23rd, 2018. The myth of neutral technology. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. On the show today, we are joined by Dr. Gary Lockler from Concordia University in Mequon. He's going to be leading a session on our Wells Education Technology and Leadership Conference next summer called The Myth of Neutral Technology. Great topic, and I think you're going to really be intrigued by what he has to say, so tune in for that. Also on the show, we are going to be talking about screen capture technologies from Windows, from TechSmith, all the ways that you can grab what's on that screen and put it in whatever presentation or documentation you happen to be building at the time. So all that, some community feedback, a lot more. Stay tuned. And we are back with episode 572, and joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally. How are you?
I am just great, Martin. How about you?
Excellent. Did you have a good time with the balloons last weekend?
Yeah, we had a balloon festival in the area, and it was a whole lot of fun. We originally booked our RV park not in time to get into it for the balloon festival. Apparently, it's like the biggest weekend in the area. And we looked pitiful or something, and they allowed us to stay here. After all, we had a site with no hookups, but it turned out to be a great site with a great view. And we had balloons flying over. We had a balloon glow right here in the RV park, a couple of balloons that they inflated, and we got to talk to the pilot. It was just super cool. And then fireworks over the Mississippi River, which were just gorgeous. So, oh, and a carnival right down the way, and a DJ in the park playing music, and it was party central here. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. So weather cooperated, and good time was had by all.
Definitely. Good. Yeah. Real good. Nice.
So it'll be hard to top that this coming weekend.
Actually, no. I'm going to a family wedding, and it's being held at a Renaissance festival.
Oh, my gosh. It's just keep on coming.
It does. So that'll be quite the event, I'm sure.
Very nice. I'll enjoy that, yeah. Too. So, well, it's back to work. I guess we call this work. I enjoy the podcast. I don't call it work. I look forward to it each and every week. And this week, we get to kind of pick the brain of a doctor. Dr. Gary Lockler was joining us for a conversation about technology in general. He is going to be one of the speakers at our Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit next June. And this is kind of neat that he was willing to take some time and talk to us about his topic. And we're going to kind of do these off and on until the conference hits, just to give you a little bit of a tease about the topic. And this one, just by reading the description, you're not, maybe you're a little bit unsure about, is this for me or not? But I think after you listen to the conversation, I think he's going to have a full workshop.
Definitely. The title is The Myth of Neutral Technology, and we should give a listen to that interview.
Really happy to have today joining us Professor Gary Lockler from Concordia University, Wisconsin. Welcome, Gary. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Martin and Sally. Can I just add that I've really appreciated your podcasts? They're a great service for the church and the world, really. Although I will admit I haven't listened to all 600 of them over the last 10 years.
No, I'm not sure I've listened to all of them.
Very few can say that, yes.
Not that closely.
We appreciate the shout-out, Gary, very much. And the show really is revolving around our listeners, and it makes the show go. So thanks, first of all, for your willingness to join us. You're actually the first one that we've had on the show kind of in advance of our leadership
Education and Technology Conference coming up next summer. And we're really intrigued by your topic, which we're going to get into in just a second. But maybe share, I'm sure our listeners are interested. What's your background? Give us a little bit of your background, current position, responsibilities, that kind of thing.
I've been teaching here at Concordia University for a little more than 30 years.
Wow.
But there's some interesting background, I think, before that. When I graduated from college, I went to Cal State Sacramento. You know, I'm a California native. And I was really looking to work in industry. I really love computer science and information technology. So I had a wonderful opportunity to work with a couple different high-tech companies in three different states, really. And then about 10 years into my industrial endeavors, God really reached out to me in kind of an interesting way. A good friend of mine at church, I was living in Idaho at the time, came to me and said, I'm going to quit my job and join the ministry. Now, that really made me think about what I was doing and maybe does God have a bigger and better purpose for my life. I really never felt a call to the public ministry, but at the same time, I was looking for a way, what can I do to make what I do more of a vocation and less of a career? So I really reached out to a number of different Lutheran Christian colleges and universities and asking, would you look for somebody like me? And a couple of them said yes, and my wife and I, we ended up here. As a matter of fact, I had no idea where I work in Mequon, Wisconsin. Couldn't pronounce it, couldn't find it on a map, but it's been a great ride for the last 30 years. My wife and I, we've been blessed with five children, and I have seven grandchildren, one more on the way. And thankfully, four of my five children and their families are at our same local congregation, St. Matthew in Port Washington. And my one son who's not nearby is actually a pastor in Port Orchard, Washington. So hobbies, I like to, my wife and I have a small hobby farm. We have some rescued horses and a rescued dog. So we just sort of like living out in the country and connecting with God's creation.
And what do you do at the university specifically?
At Concordia, I'm professor and chair of computer science. We're a teaching school, so I teach many different computer science and information technology courses, involved in lots of activities. But really, I look at my primary vocation as teaching and learning.
Very nice.
Martin already teased a little about your involvement with our EdTech Lead Summit next summer. We are very excited about the topic you submitted, and it's titled The Myth of Neutral Technology. I guess you asked the question, is technology a neutral tool or has it been purposefully designed to manipulate us? Is that a simple answer or more complex than we might suspect?
Yes, there is. It's probably a complex answer, but let me try to simplify it a little bit. At one time, if you would have asked me, is technology neutral? I would have said, yeah, I believe that technology is really neutral. If you think about other tools, like let's say a hammer, well, hammers are neither good nor bad, although they could be used for good or bad purposes, depending upon the attitude of the user's heart. But over time, I have changed. I've changed my own thought. And I guess the one thing that I really appreciate this conference and being selected to speak is it will give me an opportunity to think more deeply about it and also get some feedback. But here's how I've changed. If people are created in God's image, then we reflect some of the attributes of the Creator. Now, because of sin, we're fallen and tarnished, so that's why we have, as Christian redeemed people, we can be both, we can have good and we can have bad. Now, technology can also reflect its human creators. You know, as J.R.R. Tolkien, who said, human beings, we are sub-creators. He was talking about fantasy worlds, but really, in a sense, computer scientists and information technologists, we create worlds, virtual worlds, fantasy worlds. And in a very real sense, what we put into our apps and our technology is a reflection of us. So I have some illustrations that I'm definitely going to share at the conference about how some types of technology, and especially social media, has really been designed to play on our selfish human desires and our sinful nature. And then that, of course, is then expressed in what we do with this technology.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a stretch for some of our listeners to guess at what some of those technologies might be, because I think we all struggle with some of those as well. So if somebody's considering maybe attending the conference and determining whether they're going to attend your talk or not, who's the likely audience for this? Who's going to get the most out of this conversation?
I would hope that anybody, whether they're an educator or a technologist or just an interested person, would get a lot out of it. I am not going to bring it to the level of requiring a lot of technical expertise to understand it. But that being said, I would really think that both educators and technologists should be able to get some out of this. Technologists, we need to understand that our technology is going to reflect us, whether that's conscious or unconscious. So let's make it conscious and think about how that reflects our image. But for educators using this conference, or even for professional church workers using technology in the parish, I think it'd be helpful that they're also aware that, well, it's a tool, but I do need to think about its intended purpose and know a little bit about the people who created this tool in order to be most effective with it.
Interesting. Do you have any stories that help to illustrate how important this is, or,
sure,
or what's really at stake in our hearts related,
sure,
to this?
Yeah, exactly. I think many people are aware over the last couple years that Facebook has sort of been at the center of a controversy regarding how social media is actually put to use. In one way, this comes out, of course, people were concerned about fake accounts and fake news. But at a much deeper level, what we have discovered over the last couple years is the original movers and shakers of Facebook, Mr. Zuckerberg, but other people, the first president and some of the first vice presidents of Facebook, have come out and said, you know, we really created a system that was designed to prey on the basest aspects of human behavior. They have actually related the Facebook model to an addiction, an opioid addiction. If you think about how Facebook is set up, the way that you expand your kingdom in Facebook is to gain likes. So the idea is you're doing everything you can to get other people to like you. Now, whatever you put out there, of course, hopefully most people are putting out good, wholesome things about families. But a lot of people know that if I put out salacious information, that's going to garner much more, many more likes. People seem to gravitate toward that. So the comments have been made, even by the creators of Facebook, that we purposely designed a system that requires human beings to be, if you will, addicted to the technology. Gee, how many people liked my post this week, this month? How is my ranking? How many people are following me? And then we constantly, if you will, prey on that. So that's just one example, I think. And don't get me wrong, Facebook can be a fantastic tool. We use Facebook to keep up with relatives and keep up with what's happening around the world with ministry and lots of great things. But subconsciously, is it a thing that's constantly driving us? Are we saying, yeah, let's put this out and let's get this liked? That's what I think we have to consider and then also be watchful of.
Yeah, very frightening when your worth is attached to the number of likes versus your value in the eyes of God. Boy, that's pretty scary when you think about it like that. So let's talk a little bit more specifically about being a Lutheran in this world of technology. Where do those two meet? How does being a Lutheran change your or shape your view of technology and its use?
Mm-hmm. I think the Lutheran worldview brings a number of key aspects to help us understand technology. One of those is the idea of vocation. I think more than many other Christian groups, Lutherans understand this idea of vocation. I'll just tell you the way I simplistically think about this. I tell students that when you are working for a living and you need to earn money, that's a job. Now, that's very important because we need to be able to work and pay for things. But then oftentimes, especially when you're a college graduate, you think not about just earning money, but you think about a career. And careers are really designed to be self-fulfilling. I do the career because I like it. I feel a level of success. I feel a level of satisfaction with what I'm doing. I enjoy it. But then the third kind or level of work is really vocation. And in vocation, you can certainly earn money. And in vocation, you can certainly be fulfilled. But more importantly, our focus is on how we love and serve our neighbor. One of the things I hope I've done as a college professor is share with my students that our number one goal when we're doing technology is to ask and answer the question, how will this technology both love and serve my neighbor? So when you're thinking about technology and how it impacts your neighbor, then you are thinking about more than just, is it accurate? Does the correct answer come out? But in what way is that being carried out? I think another aspect that a Lutheran worldview can give us beyond vocation is the great way that Lutherans have historically thought about ethics in the context of law and gospel. I go back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer said, many people believe that ethics is about trying to understand right and wrong, good or bad. And Bonhoeffer said, that's not what ethics is. Ethics is trying to understand the good. So rather than worrying about trying to distinguish right, wrong, good, bad, focus on Christ, the good. And of course, the rest of that will come out. So thinking about how we love and serve our neighbor under the umbrella of not only what Christ has done for us, but what we are then willing to do because of that sacrifice, I really think gives us a unique perspective on what technology is and maybe what it can become.
And great, great ties into our summit, obviously, where we're talking education, mm-hmm. technology, and leadership. I think just living our lives as Lutherans allows mm-hmm. us to be leaders wherever we are. And so I think definitely something leaders should be mindful of. Leaders in ministry obviously have a lot of opportunities to use technology. I'm guessing you're not opposed to that or coming out against that or anything, but using it wisely probably is what's going to come from your talk.
Yeah. Sally, that's a great question. There's always a danger of, you know, going two different ways with technology, either embracing it as an idol or totally shunning it as a tool of the devil. And I believe that technology can be a very good, useful tool. As a matter of fact, I believe that the first true computer was created by a Lutheran. 400 years ago, Wilhelm Schickard, a Lutheran pastor and professor at the University of Tübingen in Germany, created, as far as we know, the world's first mechanical calculator. So it was actually a pastor who started the information technology revolution. So, can technology be useful for ministry? Oh, absolutely. I think that there are great opportunities. Think about the capability of doing Bible translation and the tools that are available to us today versus trying to do everything manually, separately, even 50 years ago. I guess one other example is we're all familiar with speech recognition, voice recognition appliances today. Many organizations have been studying how do I do speech recognition, voice recognition well. And a tool that many of them have used have been different language translations of the Bible. As it turns out, the biblical text is always written in a very careful, straightforward way, as we would expect from our translators. And these are great words to be used to train voice recognition and speech recognition systems, especially in languages that don't have, that aren't in wide use. Sorry, I got off on a tangent there, but I do want to commend the use of technology in ministry.
We're almost at the end of our time, Gary. Your talk is definitely at the top of my list. Now we're going to interview a whole bunch of other people, so their talks may too. But This sounds really interesting and very appropriate. I think, as you mentioned when we talked about audience, for almost anybody dealing with life in 2019 or 2018, it's really important to understand where this fits, and maybe even by the time you give this talk, it'll be a whole new world as well. And that's, I think, part of the challenge here too, that there will be new technologies and none of them will be neutral either. Super. Again, Gary, thank you for your willingness to talk with us today and your willingness to prepare this talk and talk with us in June of next year. Very interesting topic, and I'm assuming that you're gaining insights every day as you teach your kids too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very
and,
good.
Martin and Sally, thank you very much. I appreciate the plug, and I'm looking forward to sharing this and learning about it at the conference.
Very good. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate the minutes that you gave us. Really thought-provoking, Sally.
Yeah, I'm like super analyzing where people are coming from with all this technology that I use. I'm immersed in it. And yeah, it does make you stop and think about what messages are being sent. So interesting.
Yeah, and
stuff.
That's kind of the thought that I came away with as well. We use, you and I use technology all day. Almost every day, in many respects, and to kind of take a step back and think about it in those respects, I think that's a good exercise to just kind of make sure you understand its fit in your life. And his interesting dynamic, the interesting perspective that he brings is, the Lutheran side of it, the Lutheran's view of the world and theology and our relationship to God and Christ and how technology fits into that. Very thought-provoking. So
sounds like I'll find you in his sectional come next June.
I'm thinking, if I can't bend his ear before then even. That was good stuff. So thanks again, Gary, for
Definitely.
The time.
We're looking forward to the big event, Martin. It's coming up June 25th through 27th in Wisconsin Dells. We've booked the Kalahari Resort. It's a premier water park resort there in Wisconsin Dells. I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with the Kalahari. And we've got some rates for the conference. Many people have been asking, wanting to build it into their budgets for the new year, maybe faculty development on the school side, or just pastoral personal development, or just sending lay people to the conference to benefit the lay in your congregation as well. So we do want to make sure everybody's aware of pricing. And the good news is we have our early bird rate of $325, and that'll be good through May 1st of 2019. And then the regular conference price is $375. That includes those 3 days, the 25th through 27th. And we'll have two full days, the 25th and 26th, and then the 27th will wrap up around lunchtime. So 2.5 full days. Kalahari is a separate price. So if you want to stay at the Kalahari, we've got a block of rooms booked, and you could go ahead and make those reservations now. I believe the overnight price is $159, and that includes 4 water park passes. So definitely great to bring your family along for the Wells EdTech Lead Summit. And yeah, make those plans now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Speaking of now, we have a segment each week called Wells Now. And there's another conference that is coming up a lot sooner than next summer.
Yeah, actually, it started yesterday, Martin. It's happening now. Yeah. And it is our friends at Gospel Outreach with Media and their online conference. Believe it or not, this is the 4th time we've talked about a Gospel Outreach with Media online conference. They did 2 in 2016, 1 last fall in 2017, and now they're back again with this great conference format that they've come up with, where they've had different presenters write up an article, basically, including lots of links and lots of multimedia is embedded and all kinds of good stuff. And then there's a discussion forum around each of the articles that's out there so people can ask questions, react, discuss the things that are included. And that goes on through November 12th. So it's typically a 3-week conference. That's what it is this time. And you'll want to get out there and just kind of dig in and join the conversation, pick these great presenters' minds and learn more about what's going on in Gospel Outreach with Media. This is an effort of the Christ in Media Institute, which comes out of Bethany Lutheran College. Our good friend, Dr. Tom Custer, who happens to be one of the speakers you can hear next summer at Wells EdTech Lead. Dr. Custer and his wife, Judy, are behind the online conference and have just done an excellent job with putting it all together. All the previous conferences are archived, so you can go back and look at previous topics and the conversations that happened around them. And then this current conference is live with the discussion forums that you can participate in.
Speaking of the amount, I know from personal experience how much work this takes to put together a conference, yet they do it. It wouldn't exist if they weren't behind it. And so Tom and Judy have just done a tremendous job over these years and really appreciate them putting this together. It is truly a lot of work. So take advantage of the great stuff that's going to come out of that. It really is a neat month, or a little less than a month.
I'm just previewing a few of the topics that are here. They're talking about women's Bible study using Facebook, and that's with Carissa Nelson, who's had a lot of interest in online Bible studies. They've got stuff about how to run a promotional sweepstakes on social media. So real practical things that you might want to learn some skills around. And then they've got things focused on different countries around the world. So information about outreach in Pakistan and Korea and Brazil, just all over the world. And different writers and things that come from each of those areas. So definitely a global conference. They keep track of all the different countries that visit the website and participate in the conference. And it's just neat to be a part of it.
Yep, it is neat. So take advantage of that. Remember, the website is gowm.org, Gospel Outreach with Media online. Started yesterday, so take advantage. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is maybe geared toward your office staff there in your church or school office, because I'm guessing many people that work church and school offices have a high use of Excel spreadsheet program. And my article that I found to share this week is called 10 Excel Functions Everyone Should Know. And I happen to be an Excel fangirl. I love using Excel and dealing with data in Excel. It's just a very, very powerful tool. And they explain several of my favorite things to do in Excel, like using a paste special function where you can use a formula and then copy the results of the formula in without keeping the formula in your spreadsheet. That's one thing that might be useful to you, one example of that. You can fill things like a series of things. Maybe it's a series of dates. Every Sunday you want a date in your spreadsheet. You can use a fill function to do that automatically for you and step through using the dates once a week or once a month or whatever it may be. You can do some lookups and match things up. So if you have two spreadsheets, you can kind of combine the data from two into one using something. I've often used something called VLOOKUP, but they give an example of using INDEX and MATCH, which is a little more powerful in combination than VLOOKUP. So this was really helpful to me to learn that technique. They talk about using a SUM function, so you can add up a column of numbers and other little shortcut things like Control Z to undo something you've done, Control Y redoes something that you've done. That one I wasn't as familiar with. And then the control arrow keys will jump you around your spreadsheet real quickly. So it's a quick read. And if you use Excel for whatever purposes, I think these are definitely skills worth adding to your tool belt. There's some good stuff here.
Great pick for you spreadsheet geeks, and I know you're out there.
Yay.
This is good stuff. And it actually is a good skill to have, regardless of whether you work just with numbers or not. There's lots of applications for this. I know if you work with data at all, it's really an invaluable tool for that kind of thing. So, all right. My pick is kind of a warm-up, I'd call it, for our ministry resource this week. So just to tease you a little bit, it's all about screenshots. And I ran across an article by CNET. It was published earlier this month, called 7 Ways to Take Screenshots in Windows 10. And they published this because Windows, or Microsoft, has or will be launching an update in October here. They had kind of a little bit of a false start and had to retract it. I think it's out now. But with this update is a new screenshot tool called Snip and Sketch. They used to have just something called the snipping tool, so they've added, which did have a little bit of annotation built in, but the Snip and Sketch tool has a lot more features to it. Now, I wouldn't call it, you know, fully featured. If you do a lot of screenshots, I would say this is maybe going to reach its limits for you at some point. But if you just have modest needs and you just need to grab a screenshot and do some quick annotation, maybe do a call out, highlighting, those kinds of things, this article talks about that. So it talks not only about Snip and Sketch, which is out, you know, with this latest Windows 10 update, but the old snipping tool, what it can do, and then 5 other ways that you can do screenshots. Who knew? The use of the print screen tool, the Windows key plus the print screen button, Windows key plus Shift S, Alt and print screen, and then Windows logo and volume down for you Surface users. So who knew there were all these ways to grab screenshots? They're all actually pretty straightforward, and the article does a nice job of walking you through it. So I think we talked maybe a little bit about screenshots and screenshotting maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, because there is a lot of usefulness for it. If you do any kind of documentation or you do any kind of training or want to make sure that you are on the same page with somebody that you're supporting, all kinds of applications here. And these are built, these happen to be built right into Windows 10. So put a link to this in the show notes, but that's my pick.
That's awesome. It is a follow-up to my pick from last week, Martin, where it was how to take a screenshot on any device. So I probably just listed one for on your desktop or whatever, but you've got, 7 just in Windows. So that's pretty impressive. I will add that if you're a presenter at all, if you put together presentations, if you teach using presentations, taking screenshots is really invaluable because more often than not, you want to be able to show some things that you find on the web and include that in what you're presenting. So definitely a skill for presenters or teachers have as well.
I've definitely found that to be the case, especially if maybe you're presenting in a place that you're not totally confident of your internet connection. So it's always good to kind of visit those locations ahead of time, grab a screenshot, build that into your PowerPoint or Google Slides or whatever, just so that you've got it, even if you want to try and visit the live site. You never know. So just a good practice. Speaking of ministry resources, we've teased it enough, Sally. You are bringing to the table kind of an exciting new release in the area of screen capture.
That's correct, Martin. Today, actually, is release day for Snagit 2019. So if you've listened to the podcast at all, you've probably heard me talk about my friends at TechSmith and the great products that they produce for screen capture and video production. And Snagit is their premier product for screen capture. So it's going to cost you a little more than the built-in Windows 10 tools that come along for the ride for free. I believe there is nonprofit pricing. So if you're looking into getting a copy, make sure you check for that if you're ordering from your church or school. But Snagit 2019 is out with some really nice new features. You'd think, well, a screenshot is a screenshot, but oftentimes when you take a screenshot, you want to do things with it. And one of the things you might want to do is combine a couple of screenshots, like step one, step two, step three kind of thing. And they've actually automated that in Snagit 2019. You can multi-select images that you've taken screenshots of and press a magic button, and it'll combine them, and it'll actually number them with little stamps next to them that say 1, 2, and 3. You can add a title. You can add annotations or captions to your different images. And then it takes the work out of combining them manually. It does it for you and produces one image with those combined. You can still move them around and resize them and things like that once it's created, but it is definitely a time saver for you to combine images. And I guess I should have prefaced my spill about Snagit 2019 and that I got a pre-release copy. So I've already played with these things and given it the Wells Tech stamp of approval. So I'm really impressed with the combining images, but even more excited with something they call Simplify. That's a new feature in Snagit 2019 that will auto simplify your images. And by simplify, they mean represent text areas in the image with some gray boxes and things like that. So you get the design of what you took a capture of, but you're able to overlay very easily some generic type boxes and things to give you a simple version of that capture. And I could see this being really helpful for people that are doing documentation because, for one thing, you might want to just zero in on a particular area of the screen and kind of overlay the rest of the screen so that it's not distracting. But for another, you probably don't have to update things so often if your screenshots are more generic like this. So the verbiage may say, happy Easter on it, and you can just put some generic boxes, and it's not dated when somebody looks at it at Thanksgiving time or whatever. So they brought out that if you're producing documentation for websites that cross different languages, it's nice to be able to not have to do different screenshots of every single language that the websites represent. So lots of practical uses for some of these new things that are part of Snagit 2019. Besides that, it's just an awesome tool. It's a lot of fun to work in. It's very intuitive, and you can annotate, you can easily resize, change your canvas layout, select transparency in areas of the screen. And I believe it was Snagit 2018 that allows you to take a screenshot and actually click in and edit the words that are part of the screenshot and retain the same fonts and colorings and things like that. So really, really powerful tool. If you have a need for a great screenshot tool, I definitely recommend Snagit.
Nice. TechSmith knows what they're doing here. They've been in this space for a long, long time. I was thinking about that Simplify feature. I would think another application would be if there's sensitive data on the screen, and this would mask that so you can focus mm-hmm. on, you know, whatever it is, the instructional piece of it, rather than just the sensitive data that you've got.
Yeah.
Pricing, Sally, any idea where that's going to fall?
You know, I didn't look that up, but it, typically their normal price is right at $50, and I would definitely expect that they have
educational,
nonprofit,
right, or
nonprofit. Educational.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'll look it up and include a link in the show notes. I'll also include a link of a Wells Tech blog or show notes page screenshot where I've applied the Simplify, so you can get a feel for what it is. You know, they've had Blur for quite a while, Martin,
mm-hmm.
and that could achieve the same thing.
Yep.
If you have sensitive data or whatever, you can blur it out. But this is actually a cleaner look, and I think
I think one thing they brought out
in some of the webinars I watched is it's kind of trendy. It's a neat design to be able to share, and people are like the look and feel of it. So yeah, you can judge for yourself. I'll include a link in the show notes to a Wells Tech Simplified image.
Yeah, if you're still curious about what this looks like, go check that screenshot out that Sally's going to provide. But it's really essentially the same thing you kind of get when you visit like a Facebook page or something like that before it's fully loaded. That's one of the design guidelines that I know iOS provides, says give some kind of Greek or dummy placeholder imagery before the page actually loads, so let the viewer know that, hey, there's something there. So it's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, but the technology behind that. All right, let's move on to community feedback, the time where we listen to you and you have opportunities to share with us. What do we have this week, Sally?
Well, we have just a conversation I had recently with Pastor Stephen Daly. Pastor Daly is a longtime listener of Wells Tech, and one of the tools that he uses that we often talk about on the show is our Christian Worship Lectionary in Google Calendar format. So if you haven't heard of this, what we've done via the Worship Office and their work with the lectionary calendar for each church year, they provide us with a file that can be imported, is the word I'm looking for, into Google Calendar. And we have a published Google Calendar that has each Sunday and other events of the church year, each has a post on the Google Calendar. So you can incorporate this Google Calendar into your own or subscribe to it or just visit the calendar. And when you click on those posts for each Sunday, you're going to get the readings for that Sunday, the hymn of the day, the prayer of the day, the verse of the day, the color for that Sunday, that kind of thing. And the reason Pastor Daly contacted me was because Sunday, December 30th was blank. There was no entry for the Christian Worship Lectionary for that Sunday. So he was doing some planning ahead and realized that we were missing an entry. And I checked in with the worship office, made sure we were posting the right church year. I believe it was church year C, and got that entry out there into the Google Calendar. So if you are using it, no worries. Thanks to Pastor Daly, we were alerted to this missing entry, and it has been added. And we just hope that if you didn't know about it before, that you go check it out, because it might be a benefit to you and to those that are involved in the worship planning. So your choir directors or your organist might be interested in subscribing to the calendar as well.
Kind of neat. Google Calendar, you know, just kind of nicely integrates into your own calendar, and you can turn it on and off. And we use it extensively at our church as well for lots of different scheduling kinds of techniques for mm-hmm. AV or for altar guild or ushers. And it's just kind of a nice way to bring it into your life when you want it and where you want it and how you want it. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
One other piece of community feedback, actually, I brought this up. We had the folks at Concordia reach out to us. Peter Frank, we've talked to him in the past, a friend of the show, and I think he'll also be at the Wells EdTech Lead Conference next summer.
Yes,
letting us know that there is a price increase coming for Church 360. There's two pieces to that product, the member and the ledger. The member is the church information side, where you're tracking membership information, attendance, contributions, and then the ledger is the financial piece. They've announced that there will be price increases effective 2019. We have a special Wells rate, so regardless of the size of your church, and that's kind of the neatness of our relationship, is they've given us kind of a blanket price, which actually works out well for most churches, was $37.50 a month or $450 per year. Effective in 2019, January 1st, it goes up to $40 a month or $475 a year. And we'll put a link to my blog post in the show notes. They do offer a year-long guarantee, price guarantee. So if you are interested in one of these products, if you jump in now before the end of the year, you're going to lock in the 2018 price even into 2019. So that's why he wanted to bring it to our attention that there is an advantage for pulling the trigger. Before the end of the year, you'll lock in that cheaper price and save a few bucks. So very good product. They've really increased the functionality over the last year, and I think it's a worthy product in almost every circumstance for our churches.
And just a little history behind our relationship with Concordia Technology. We've been with them for a long time, offering these great discounts on the Shepherd Staff product, which is more of a local product that you use on your computers, in the
inside
network.
Inside your network, right.
Inside your church or school office. And this Church 360 is actually a web-based product. So it just opens up so many possibilities for you to be accessing your database from anywhere that you have an internet connection. Very powerful tool.
Yep. Sally, we have a video of the week.
We do, and believe it or not, it follows our theme of screenshots, because Snagit has a page out there that has all the details about their Snagit 2019, including this video that we're going to feature, where they reveal the power of Snagit 2019. So if you want to see it in action, check out the video and maybe surf on over to their reveal page, and it has even more details. So check that out.
That reminds me, too, Snagit does do video as well, right? Short video capture, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. You can
it's
do...
not just screen capture. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Good. All right. What are we going to do next week?
Next week, we are excited to welcome back one of our favorite folks on Wells Tech. That would be Mr. Jason
Sunshine.
Schmidt. Mr. Sunshine, that's right. Jason has been a longtime guest host in our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent chair, and he's back for another school season of commentary on education technology. This year, we're focusing on a book that we introduced last month called Faithfully Connected. It's actually from our friends at Concordia, I believe, Concordia Publishing House. Its subtitle is called Integrating Biblical Principles in a Digital World. And it's just a fantastic read for teachers, pastors, anyone who has contact with youth, especially. It has teacher lesson plans as well as catechism presentation plans. And we're going to be focusing our discussion on Chapter 2 called Digital Commerce.
Very nice. Looking forward to having Jason join us once again. So that'll be episode 573. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Really appreciate your patronage, your ears each week, and bring some friends next week. We'd love to have more join the conversation of Wells Tech. Again, the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, is a place to go for all those links, videos, etc., etc., and all the ways that you can connect with us as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.